This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
All right, listeners, welcome to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start off this episode like we do every week, and we are going to share one of you, dear listeners, who use our hashtag #STRShareSunday. Why Sunday? Why not? Because on Instagram, on Sundays, we share you there as well. Who are we sharing this week, Annette?
Drum roll, please. This has been 2 years in the making. We are sharing Little River Tiny House. Again, hashtag Little River Tiny House.
Or at Little River Tiny House.
And I have been waiting to highlight them for almost 2 years because they have been building their house from the ground up themselves for the past 2 years. It's Amber and Tyler, and this is in Maryville, Tennessee. And we are so excited for them. They just launched their home on Airbnb. But Sarah and I have been following their journey on Instagram for quite some time. And we just want to celebrate them and all of their hard work. And wow, we cannot wait to stay. Sarah, let's tell them a little bit about
this place. So listeners, go over to Instagram. Let's show them how we love to love on each other as hosts and rental managers, because their Instagram account is already on point. They've got highlights that are already branded. They get a ton of pictures in their feed that would really give a guest understanding of the story behind the project. And of course, the amazing natural amenities, natural sights that guests can see when they arrive. So I love they're telling the story of their space on this Instagram account. They've got a couple pictures of themselves, which I love that too. People like to see the faces behind the project and the space. So really well done, you guys.
And they have a rooftop deck that I cannot wait to stargaze and drink cocktails on. That's what they advise. But really just give them some love. I know that they've put blood, sweat, tears, probably a ton of money into this space. So just want to give them a shout out that they brought their dream to fruition. And go give them a follow and a like and put them on your wish list for your next day.
If you want us to shout out your short-term rental and your business on our podcast, go ahead, use our hashtag on Instagram. We are prowling it daily. And we will share you on an upcoming episode. But for now, let's get on to this week's show. We've got two rock star women waiting in the wings for us to bring them in. We've got Sarah Nye, who's a professional vacation rental manager and director of guest experiences at poprentals.com, a company she founded in 2011 and soon will be operating with Karen Gleason, who is also here of Pop Realty Group. Their team will help anyone buy, sell, and or rent in Western North Carolina. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
This is awesome. I have to give the listeners a little background. I actually met these lovely ladies, I think on my last trip of 2020, because we went into lockdown shortly after. But I was drawn to them because they were at a vacation rental show, kind of based on revenue and how everyone can up level. And they were diligently in the crowd, taking notes, asking questions. And I was like, I think these are our people over here. They are dialed in, they are focused. And of course, one short conversation, they blew me away. We've been following them ever since, and we are excited to have them on our show today. So, ladies, you want to share with our listeners a little bit about your story? Because no one is just kind of like brought up in the short-term rental, vacation rental world. So give our listeners some of the background.
Sure. I have a background in environmental studies and environmental health and sciences and many economic downturns and life changes led me to assisting a friend with a vacation rental in East Tennessee, in Sevierville, Tennessee, not too far from where we are in Asheville, North Carolina. But this dear friend was an artist, and she had a lovely historic log home on Douglas Lake, and was wonderful and skilled in design and landscaping and creating the warmth and coziness that guests loved in that experience, but really struggled with schedules and details involving computers. And I had a short stint at Verizon and understood the power of a smartphone and the really adaptability of using it as a tool from anywhere. And so I started assisting this friend in managing her vacation rental and really optimizing it through the booking websites. Airbnb was still just very nuanced and a little clunky at times, as was Vrbo and HomeAway. So I really helped her, and then coincidentally was put in contact with two other artists in our Asheville community that had condos in downtown Asheville. So then I started to build a collection of helping owners with managing their properties and really creating an a la carte service of helping them steer and navigate the technology of it, and then built my company from there, and now partnered with Karen Gleason, who really brings in the traditional real estate side. And I consider myself now an expert in the industry by attending, all of the conferences, the amazing resources of podcasts. So that's really been my journey, the short of it. But Karen's network and extensive real estate background adds a whole nother layer. If you want to talk about that.
So I have been selling real estate for over 20 years. I have my own team. I do development as well as my personal rental properties. And then I mainly like to work with investors. So I was looking to expand my book of business and get back into property management. And our area, there's so many short-term rentals now. I really wanted to focus more on short-term rentals instead of long-term rentals, just to kind of expand my clients' real estate portfolios. So I approached Sarah because she is an expert in the industry, and I really liked the properties she was managing. They were pretty niche. They were downtown. Kind of an old saying in my business, all the real estate business you need is within 2 miles of your home, which is kind of where all Sarah's properties were. So that's why I approached Sarah to kind of join forces with myself and my investors and see if we could expand her portfolio.
Boom. I have so many questions, but I need to keep this episode focused on our listeners and not my personal itches in my brain here, because it's like, I love how you two took your individual strengths and you figured out a way to marry them together. I think so many of our listeners DM us, write us in, they're like, well, how do I become an expert at all these things? And you are proof that, well, you don't have to. You can leverage other people's strengths, find your partner, team up, and be absolute rock stars. I do have a question for you, Karen. Was your team of buying and selling agents, or I don't know if you have, is it just you or do you have a team? I guess it's my first question.
I have a team. So my husband is actually does land planning and development. He's also licensed. So if I, you know, I'm looking for a development phase, Mike is our go-to. I mean, he knows all the zoning code, you know, any land purchases, we're going to go with Mike. And then I have another agent, Robbie Sherrill, who also is versed in with investors. So I have a, you know, a buyer agent that also works with me. And then I have an assistant.
And are you, and I don't know what your state laws are, but are you a broker or do you work, do you yes. ladies work on, you're a broker? Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I'm a broker.
Okay. So then my question is, I'm sure like you had all those services dialed in. Was it just you itching to do something more? Because I often hear from investors and real estate agents and brokers that property management, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a pain in the bum. So like, what about it got you excited enough to reach out and connect with Sarah about what she's doing? And yeah, so that, I guess that's my question is why add property management to your business?
So we had the, you know, the real estate bubble and then collapse in 2007 and 8. I did not personally want to go through that again.
Sure.
So diversifying, like, let's mm-hmm. think about what I can do here. And property management is one of those things, like, can get you through the tough times. So exactly what you're saying, like the thought, I've done traditional property management at one time in my real estate career. I managed 83 properties mm-hmm. and I really didn't want to go through that side of it again. And then I myself purchased a short-term, you know, rental property for my portfolio, my personal portfolio. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I like this. I enjoy seeing the bookings, the different people decorating my little mm-hmm. condo. My yeah. friends could come stay in it. So just looking at that aspect of Asheville and seeing how many people were interested in having a short-term rental, I thought this is a good way for me to get back into property management. It'll be something new for me to get involved in. And that's why I did it.
And then Sarah, for you, and she approached you, what got you excited about the partnership?
That it provided really agency, that there were more out-of-town owners that were approaching me that wanted to be completely hands-off. And where I had started my business was providing a niche service of a la carte where owners wanted to be involved, but they just didn't want to do everything. So they were delegating a lot to me, a lot of the tedious, laborious stuff dealing with the guests and the ins and outs, but they wanted to be more hands-on in the physical property aspect or ensuring quality control with the cleaning and making sure that they picked the cleaner and knew who was at their property. So those owners that were a little bit more micro,
yeah.
you know, and then I, as downtown Asheville was getting more restrictive with their vacation rental ordinances and zoning, the writing on the wall was very clear to me that it was important that I have a broker and somebody that could really navigate. As Karen mentioned, her husband has experience in zoning and development. So as an owner that was interested in getting a license or a permit for conditional use, all of those nuances of zoning that clearly the city of Asheville was going in that direction. It just seemed, it was obvious to me that there needed to be a larger network for me to access in order to navigate anyone that approached me that wanted to get into this industry that, you know, I had to have those feathers in my cap.
Right. Yeah. No, we love that. And our listeners, some of them know this, and we'll say it to you, but Sarah and I actually met at a city council meeting. Mm-hmm. So we are advocates that, like, this is fine when the city wants to get involved. We actually champion it because it separates those who are serious and really want to provide a good guest experience. And we welcome that. We just know that we have to navigate it properly. And so to our listeners, I think this is a huge lesson. Don't be fearful if regulations are being talked about. You can embrace it and just realize that your community is noticing that this is something that's happening and could potentially bring in a lot of money for
but also
your city.
Get involved. Don't right. don't let your city just do things, mm-hmm. you know, for you on behalf of who you are. Because the restrictions they were posing here in Columbus, Ohio were pretty tight stringent. And stringent. And we were like, no, that's not how this is going to go down because a lot of us have professional businesses. But anyway, so Sarah and Karen, how long have you two ladies been in business now together?
Going on 3 years, coming up on 3 years.
And how many properties are in the Pop Rentals portfolio currently?
15. And we are working on three more.
Amazing. Onboarding two.
Yep.
And then working on a couple others.
And then how big is the Pop Rentals team other than the two of you? Like Sarah, and I don't know, is that how this works? Karen, are you kind of like the buy-sell side and then Sarah takes care of the rentals and then Sarah under you, do you have help or are you just killing this on your own?
We share an assistant, which we're in the middle of a new hire right now. And I do the maintenance side of things mm-hmm. and Sarah handles all the guest services. And we both talk with the owners. Like Sarah definitely goes over, you know, vacancy rate and how the numbers look as far as that side of things. And then I go over everything as far as, you know, I just have a list of all the maintenance people we're going to need. So sure. I take care of the maintenance side of the properties.
We both contribute to the financial analysis.
Sure, yeah. Nice. And listeners, if you want to, depending on what you're doing right now, if you want to go to their website, poprentals.com, you can see, you know, their wonderful portfolio that they represent there.
And of course, if you're driving, we've got show notes coming your way. Yep. We'll have, obviously, every time a episode comes out, we'll show an email with you guys. So you can, you know, if you don't want to forget to check out what these ladies are doing, you can do so. And they sent us, obviously, like we always ask our guests, like, hey, what should we discuss? Because you are a rock star. And of course, they sent us all of these things. And I was like, all of these sound amazing. But listeners, we want to keep your, you know, the content we bring to you diversified and different every time so you can continue to open up your mind and expand and grow and think. So there are a few things we want to talk to you ladies about today. The first thing being, you know, you suggested chatting about eliminating refundable damage deposits. I know our listeners cannot wait to hear. Number one, go ahead and explain what that is if someone is listening who is just thinking about getting into short-term rentals and what that means. And then maybe go into how you're eliminating them for the more experienced listener here.
Well, it is really creating value and that price tag that every traveler sees in the quote, right? And that to create more leverage for our industry as far as value, we are heavily inundated by hotels in a very small 1 mile radius of our little downtown and our commercial district. So we know we provide more, as we always talk about in our industry, right? And getting down to value in that price tag, we just thought, you know, is there another way of doing this? Because we never really saw the value for us. You know, we don't earn anything off of these refundable damage deposits. Rarely did we deduct anything from it, make a claim, so to speak, right? And if they weren't booking direct, we know these OTAs hold that. We have to make a claim. Sometimes it's disputed, yada, yada. So it was like, well, is there another way to do this? And one of our owners had a very interesting proposal of just like, well, what if we just charged a nominal fee per reservation per night to try to generate a little bit more revenue? And then that way, if sheets, towels, you know, that's then becomes this nice little cash flow.
Yeah, reserve. Yeah,
reserve. That we can then deduct replacing items from. And so incrementally building that little reserve up over time, lowering that ticket price, that price point for the traveler seemed like something worth experimenting with. It's an experiment for us. We'll see how it works out. But in operating, we just looked back at all of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reservations, like how often did we really make a claim? Now, I don't know if it would apply well, to, you know, a large home where you're sleeping 10 to 14. But for our type of properties and our product, which we sleep two people, apartments, condos, it seems like this might be a worthy experiment.
So how does that work? And again, listeners, an OTA is an online travel agency. So that would be your Airbnb, your Vrbo, your HomeAway, right? That's not something that wouldn't be an OTA, technically, I guess, would be your direct booking site. So ladies, mm-hmm. So then how does that work if, you know, if our listener is just on Airbnb and we know that they're pretty limited on the fees that you can charge. So do you just explain in your listing that $5 of your reservation goes to this fund or how do you do that?
It's
or how are you thinking about it?
I won't blanket this because, you know, it's interesting how Airbnb, what options they provide to different owners, operators, hosts, so to speak. Some things don't appear on your listing until you've been operating for a while. So
right.
I'll say just that disclosure, just that disclaimer. But we currently have the option to charge per reservation. They give four options to us as a resort fee, community fee, linen fee, or management fee.
Right.
And then automatically sales and lodging tax applies to that because it is a fee. So obviously that Airbnb is going to collect, remit that. And then it just shows up as a line item for the traveler. They see that. And then we collect it and put it in that reserve on our reporting.
No, that's great.
That's smart. And,
no, that's very smart.
Okay, and have you...
People want the, you know, $250, $500. You'd rather have that in your pocket
right.
than have it with a deposit. So that's kind of was like, I'm sure...
No, it kind of... It kind of starts the relationship out as like, you're going to do something wrong. You know, it doesn't start the relationship out on like this really strong trust. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to anticipate there's going to be something, an issue, and I'm going to collect for it up front. It just, right. it doesn't establish trust out of the gate. It kind of basically.
And so for clarity for our listeners, so you are not charging security deposits then, essentially.
Correct.
This is replacing that.
Because in the contract, I mean, it says, you know, so if someone does destroy a unit, we look back at that, like over all these properties, all these years, how many times has something major happened?
Right.
We have one time.
There we go.
And they paid for it. And even if they hadn't, trying to get the deposit, you know, you can still sue someone for damages if you were to have to. That deposit really doesn't cover you for that anyway.
Right.
Right.
For one of these crazy situations. When we look back at the numbers for three units, we just look back, less than $200 we had spent with like damage, you know, a lamp or a shelf.
Excessive cleaning.
Excessive,
right.
You know,
right. Right.
Minimal to hold the deposit. It was like, well, you might as well collect this little fee to charge for your, you know, you're replacing your sheets, you're replacing your towels, because we're not going to go after the guests for it anyway.
No.
We don't operate from that. So, I mean, the other disclaimer and caveat would be is make sure that your house rules and that when you're using these OTAs, that you have your travelers acknowledge the rules. So, you know, I'm kind of making blanket statements, but it's just important to recognize when you use these OTAs is that you have a separate contract agreement or that it's in your house rules, whatever that OTA, you know, instrument they're using that you can use to ensure you're protected is really important. I think as professionals, you know, most of us realize that when you're using these OTAs, you know, there is some risk involved, but that you have to be sure that your insurance is, of course, in the right place, mm-hmm. and that you're covered if there's huge, huge things like, you know, somebody leaves the faucet on or something like that. But yeah, when you look back at what you spend on linens and towels, maybe, you know, this is an idea that our industry can apply and kind of get a little bit more competitive with hotel pricing.
Have you noticed?
Like kind of creating your own renter insurance.
Right.
Goal.
That's what I was saying.
Deposit, you're collecting this little fund. So if there is something that happens, you have the money for it now.
Right. So, and then, now I have two questions for you really quick. number one, have you noticed potential guests reacting positively or negatively to the fee? Like, will they message you and say, I don't know what this fee is? And would you mind sharing how much you guys are playing around with fee-wise? Is it...
We targeted kind of the cost analysis of what we spend on towels and linen, mm-hmm. like replacements. So I would suggest to use that in the formula of what you charge per mm-hmm. reservation. And I'll use Airbnb as the example because you only have the option really to implement this through charging a fee per reservation, which you think our average, looking at the average length of stay for us is annually about 3.5 nights, so mm-hmm. to speak. So it was like, okay, how do we get to $2,000 a year with the number of reservations? So it's $30 per reservation. Nice. So if they stay a week, okay, hopefully, this is still an experiment.
We're and I think it's a great one.
Yeah, right. So that's the goal, and we'll be tracking it. Maybe we'll follow up with results in a year with y'all.
You'll have to. We'll share it on Instagram or something and share it. Because I think, and here's the cool thing, ladies, which I love about you two already, is like you said, we've gotta share these ideas with fellow operators, owners, hosts, so that it can be not this random thing that our guests are being charged a $30 insurance fee, essentially, right? It's more of a normal thing. Mm-hmm. And then we all win.
Right. It's kind of like everybody knows now there's going to be a cleaning fee. So if we can just adjust them to, you know, just, I pretty much know what I'm going to expect when I go to a hotel. There's going to be a refund.
All
there's going
to
be a resort fee, da, da, da. So if we can just kind of make it part of industry standard, like no one... Cleaning fee now, you just know that's like part of the package. And if we can create that together as a community, that would be amazing. This is actually a great segue into the next topic that we want to chat about. And I would love talking about revenue, and we're going to kind of stay on that a little bit. Is, you know, you just said you can kind of do the numbers. What's the average night stay? How many guests are we going to have a year? And you kind of know what your revenue is. And as exciting that as that is, it's like, wait a second. Well, now I know what my revenue is for the whole year, and we're all in business. So how can we layer on and merchandise services to increase the revenue of those individual properties? Number one, A, this is great, listeners, if you have a single property, but also for Sarah and Karen, like, hey, how can we increase the revenue across the board for all of our owners? And then obviously that trickles down. So do you want to talk with us about some more of your experimentation that's taking place?
Sure. I think as an industry, we can talk more about merchandising services, merchandising amenities to increase that revenue. And for some folks right now traveling, you know, convenience, whether it be your location or just accessibility or timing, creating that guest experience and adding to value during their stay is just creating things more convenient prior to their arrival. So making arrangements for them, whether it's delivery of baby equipment. You know, a lot of us in the industry are doing that, where it's maybe not the best idea to provide your own equipment, but there are so many companies that you can rent quality baby equipment. And for those flying on a plane, or maybe that's more limited now, but we're a driving location. So there's gear that could be had for outdoor experiences, making those arrangements. It's, for some folks, very nominal to make those arrangements, and we're happy to do it, whether it's groceries, if it's a special occasion, creating an itinerary, that's really fun for us, whether it's a romantic couple, making suggestions. Now, putting a price tag on some of that, you know, maybe some hosts are able to do that, but for us, that's another thing that we're experimenting with, is like grocery delivery that, you know, is there upon arrival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll stack your fridge. Here's your list.
Sure. Now, we've been talking a little bit about fill the fridge packages, because some people, you know, they really do want to unplug when they arrive. Even if it is, like you said, it's for 2 or 3 nights. Like that, a trip to the grocery store can consume a couple of hours.
Or they don't want to go to the grocery store now because of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Like they want to make it as...
Exactly.
You know, touch those things as limited as possible. So question for you, because I know our listeners are going to ask this. Okay, so when do you offer these services? Is it the, you know, 3 days prior to arrival where you share what is available to them? Is it the morning after? We're like, hey, I'm not sure if you thought about this, but we've got a personal chef that would be happy to come make you dinner tomorrow. Like, when do you introduce these services, or is it on your listings right up front? How are you handling that, or what are you thinking about doing?
It starts with engaging with them of what brings them to Asheville. Mm-hmm. So that inquiry there of thanks so much for booking, and starting to create a dialogue of, you know, have you visited before? What brings you? If they're concerned about parking, many of our downtown locations do not have an elevator. So there's a lot of stairs. So a lot of our guests really love the idea of stocking the fridge. So that's one less thing that they have to do of dealing with parking close to the building entrance. That to eliminate that, where it's just one less thing, that could be like 2 hours for a couple, you know? So $30 to stock the fridge, that's easy. That's a no-brainer. So in that initial conversation.
Nice. And we do have, on your questions that you had given us, this is something Sarah and I are still trying to figure out, and you might already be doing them, but mid-stay cleans, I think those are going to become more and more popular, with, you know, people staying longer. How are you executing those if you already are for your longer-term guests or short-term guests?
Again, in that conversation, if it's more than 3 weeks, we've just found that it creates an easier checkout clean.
Yes, it does.
Our cleaning crews get in there mid-stay. Again, it's a very, if they're staying three weeks, we've priced that appropriately to cover the cost of that mid-stay. If it's more than a month, then again, we build it into the quote. But then we're also want to be sensitive to guests that do not want somebody in their home during COVID. Mm-hmm. So we're still navigating that. It's only come up a few times, but like I think most of us in the industry, we are seeing more of these, I like the term medium stays. Ah. People are, you know, we call it short-term rentals. It's like medium stays.
Right.
Where it's more than 3 weeks, we're getting into 40 and 50 nights, you know.
And they more ask us.
Right.
That long can I get?
Yeah. Right.
Nice. Right. I know, that's awesome.
Do you offer? Right. Mm-hmm. And when you can say yes, because even if mm-hmm. listeners, even if you haven't, like you've heard about this, these midterm cleans, but you haven't, if someone asks, you say yes, and that's what'll force you to figure it out sometimes, right? You're like, well, better figure out that system.
It's kind of a throws up a signal of like, oh, okay, they want clean.
Right.
Yes, let's get in there, please. And that's a wonderful opportunity, because somebody's telling you they're not interested in cleaning. It's like, yes, we'll get in there.
Right. And I think, listeners, something that happens all the time, and I think they did a great job, arrival packages. There's been several times I would get annoyed, like, no, I'm not buying a birthday cake. Like, I would assume that the person thought that I would do it for them for free. And now that you have to have a mindset shift of like, say yes, I'd be happy to do that. My arrival packages start at and give them what that total is. Because I totally had like just, I looked at it the wrong way. Like, they think I'm going to go buy a birthday cake and decorate. You know, like I should have, like I needed to come from that hospitality and go, wait a second, I need to present them with an arrival package and what it costs for me to do that. I'd be more than happy to do that, because I've done certain things like that. But I love just coming back and saying, you know what? That's great. Here's my arrival package pricing starting at. And so listeners, when someone asks for something that seems a little bit above and beyond, take that as an opportunity to create a package for them versus thinking, wow, they're really wanting me to go a little bit further than what just an average nightly stay would be. They want, there's more work involved. I think there's a huge opportunity, like we said, with taking away the refundable deposit, is this could become a norm too, where like a fill the fridge, like absolutely every Airbnb offers a fill the fridge, like you take them up on that offer. If we can start to that become more industry standard too, of arrival packages and mid-stay cleanings, things like that, we can help travelers understand that it is normal and you do want to add those things on wherever, or you want to look for hosts that offer that. Like, oh my gosh, they don't even offer fill the fridge. Cause that's the thing too, that Sarah and I've talked about. Even if they don't take you up on the offer, it gives the guest a sense of, wow, they really have gone above and beyond and want to take care of the guest. So I think that's another value add, even if they don't take advantage of it.
And as far as not recreating the wheel, if you, and depending on where a person is with their vacation rental, if you are more rural, you can look at some larger, like Dollywood. What does Dollywood offer? Go to her website, see what she offers at her hotel, see what her extra list is. If you're in a city like Sarah and I, go to the Old Edwards Inn. What do they offer guests? It's going to be right there. You can get plenty of ideas. Don't try to come up with these on your own.
Right.
You can go to the Grove Park Inn. What does their little add-ons look like? You can get tons of ideas how to make your own amenity package from just going to the professionals that are doing this at hotels, that are doing this in resorts, and just copy it.
Yep.
Karen, amen.
And teach it for a better price.
And I think customizing by looking at who typically has stayed in your property, who's attracted to your property. Mm-hmm. So if you're sleeping too, segmenting, you know, your audience and preparing like who regularly is visiting and why. And if it's romantic stays, if it's celebrations of life events, whether that's anniversaries, birthdays, graduation, creating those in advance, and then you're able to customize them. But yeah, I think that's an opportunity.
Yeah. Around here, cyclist. We got a ton of people who love to mountain bike and road bike. So do, if someone's coming to cycle, do you want me to line you up with a cyclist?
Wow.
Nice. I can get you a rockstar cyclist that could take you out. You know, so just depending, and you can have people lined up, you get your commission off of it. You know, you can have all these kind of experiences ready and whatever, if fly fishing, do you want me to line up your fly fishing guide? So your whole experience list, you know, just kind of for your area on top of like, kind of, do you want chocolate covered strawberries? You know, the food tour, do you want a list of restaurants, you know, give a discount here,
right?
Just all kinds of ways you can add value to someone's stay. And like you said, not baking a cake for free.
Right. Right. Oh, you ladies are good, which leads me to my next kind of question for you. It's already apparent that you're not just about, you know, helping owners make extra money for their properties, which that in itself is such a, I think, such a gift that I'm able to help them with because they use that, you know, income to help their families, improve their property, what have you. You also are super guest focused. So I guess my question for you is now that you are aligned, you are together, what bigger what bigger views do you have for your business, for your community? What are some important things that you ladies are focusing on right now as you move forward in running short-term rentals in your area?
I know you've used the rock star a lot, but we're pop rentals, so we're going to...
They're pop stars. Yes, I love it.
That kind of is our focus for our business, is for the traveler to understand the community and really have what they're coming to Asheville for. So we want to get you to have the most out of your experience here in Asheville. So, you know, we want to give you like the pop star treatment here and then incorporate, you know, our core values with housing, you know, affordability, giving back to the community, sharing local.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, our big picture goal is to have a really homey experience in Asheville.
And what the spirit of Asheville and sharing that is something, is the thread that we want to weave through everything that we do, whether it's customizing an experience, but also sharing a city that we live and breathe. And we're a city that really grapples with the double-edged sword of tourism. It's our number one economy. And as those that... you know, definitely are awarded the privileges of tourism, you know, we have to check our own privilege. And with doing that, you know, where can we make space for others, for voices in our community to be seen and heard, and think about systemic changes and economic accessibility and resources. And when thinking about community safety, and safety for who, you know, safety for our tourists, or safety for those that come and visit our downtown for all of the services that our small municipality provides in our downtown location. So we know that everyone coming to our county, not only come to downtown, that's where, you know, our restaurants, our music venues, our art galleries, cafes, shopping, we're a historic downtown. So it's small, it's very centralized. And we use, you know, our voice to create space for others that live and work in our community and use downtown every day, and try to use the opportunity to tell a story of Asheville that you will see everyday people. And this is what makes up the unique fabric and vibrancy of Asheville. So it is an urban center. And some of our apartments are across a very vital social service, Homeward Bound, who we advocate for, as well as a lot of in the special groups in the real estate sector support creating housing for eliminating chronic homelessness. Because as a lot of popular cities, desirable tourism cities like Asheville, we struggle with chronic homelessness and affordable housing. So part of our core values is really giving voice to how to be a good tourist, and what are the etiquette, what is tourist etiquette. And some of that is to be aware of your space on our streets. We're a brewing city, you know, beer city. And when there are large groups of young people who are multi-generational, all in a pact, traveling, you know, on our small sidewalks of our historic city, you know, we think about like, what, well, how can we advocate for being a conscientious traveler? And if you're on a bachelorette or a bachelor party, how do we advocate for that, and being aware of others in our community that we want to tell people and direct them to go patron, right? And to go spend money at our local shops and breweries. But when visiting the Blue Ridge Parkway, be conscientious of the amount of trash. I mean, it has gotten quite reckless. And that's where we want to take this opportunity to think about how, as an industry, can we help educate our tourists when they visit these beloved cities that are almost getting loved to death, that this is a channel and an opportunity to advocate that, yes, come, yes, love our city, and share it with others. But, you know, be aware, like,
yeah, be mindful,
leave no trace.
Have you ladies come up with any tangible ways that our listeners can do that in their own communities? Like, how do we say bachelorette parties, go have your fun, but let me have my mom moment and remind you that, you know, leaving these heavy footprints in our community really hurts, you know, those who live here and breathe here every day. So I love the message. I think it's really important for us to think about that too. It's not just about the beautiful home that you built from the ground up. It's not just about, you know, filling the fridge. It's truly about taking care about the communities who allow us to come in and visit your cities and patron them and all that kind of good stuff. But how do we do that? How do we share that message and actually have our guests listen and maybe even let it sink in before they head out or before they arrive?
I think personally how I do it is take the opportunity when somebody is talking about the homeless population in downtown Asheville to describe my city accurately, that it is an urban center, before they book. I put that in my description. Mm-hmm. Every review that mentions it, I talk about the importance of the social services that are downtown, and that everyone that is visiting downtown, local or from out of town, you know, are there for a variety of reasons. And this is what makes up, you know, the vibrancy right. of our city. So I think being authentic with how we describe our neighborhoods and our locations is important, and not trying to downplay or, you know, paint everything rosy, but say that, you know, there's an opioid crisis going on.
Right.
And every city in America is dealing with it. And because Asheville is a small downtown, you see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it. And we're not Newbury and we're not New York City. And talking about and answering the question, which we get frequently being an urban center with all of our properties downtown, is the question of, is it safe? And that, you know,
yeah, how do you answer that question?
How are we answering that as a city or as owners and operators? Because, you know, how do hotels answer it? You know, I don't know if I've ever asked when I've booked a hotel, is it safe, you know, at your Hyatt? But somehow we are asked this more frequently, I think. And I think, again, going back to the tourists being, you know, a smart tourist and a smart traveler, is planning your trip, thinking about parking. And if you don't provide parking on site and, you know, it's offsite parking in a public garage, describe that walk, be accurate, like be sure that you're describing in your arrival directions that if you're arriving at night, you know, be aware, here's the drop-off locations. And preparing with accuracy, and so nobody's surprised, but not sugarcoating it. It's an urban center. Things happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Know the parking decks. That's a good one. Like yeah. for someone who's coming to the city and that place doesn't have parking, you should be aware of where you're going to park.
Right.
And your arrival time.
And that way you're not slamming on brakes, backing up, going the wrong way down a one-way street. I mean, that's something a traveler can do to educate themselves. Same with people. We have a lot of people that come here biking. You can't take a bike on the mountains to Sea Trail. If you are coming to bike here, know where the biking trails are. Know where you're going to go. It would really help, you know, in the beginning. So these are like some good ways a traveler could prepare for their trip.
And if you know your audience and mm-hmm. your guests are frequent, you know, mountain bikers, then providing the leave no trace etiquette
yeah.
and talking about proper etiquette on the trail.
And don't go in the mud. It makes it worse.
Right.
Yeah, like you're just going to destroy the trails for everyone else. So those kind of things, just to be more thoughtful.
Yeah. There's Max Patch it's on the Appalachian Trail, and there was a drone aerial photographer that showed an image of, I mean, we've just never seen so many people on this beautiful bald with 360 degree views of the Smokies. It's a really sacred spot. It's loved by so many. It's written about, but there was just trash piled up everywhere. I mean, it's not exaggerated, but this is obviously a result of the pandemic. We're a driving location. I think this is a good time to pivot to, you know, our audience and what are we doing as hosts to remind travelers yeah. of this etiquette and these codes of ethics when traveling.
I love the way you kind of, and I don't know if you did this on purpose, Sarah and Karen, but I love the way you spun it as, hey, you love Asheville for the breweries. You love us for how historic we are and our mountains. Cool story. You have to take that plus everything else that makes up Asheville. And it's amazing. And we live here and we love here. And here's what you're going to see across the street. Here's what the parking garage is going to be like. And we want you to feel like a local. So here's what our locals do to keep themselves safe and aware and make sure that there are mountains to enjoy for years to come. You know what I mean? I feel like if you use your, Sarah, I feel like you even said this in your onboarding form with us, just the importance of professional copywriting. Because that's how we get our travelers, our guests to listen to us. If you ever feel like your guests aren't listening to your check-in instructions, if they're not reading all of your listing, it's probably because your copywriting isn't great. And that can be improved to bring the potential guest in psychologically with words. And that's something that we can work on as hosts and owners and operators of short-term rentals is pay more attention to how we are communicating with potential guests with those words that we are allowed to share on OTAs and our direct booking websites. But I love that angle of like, you love these things? Cool. These things come with it. And you can't select to have one or the other. It's all of it. So let us help you have the best experience possible when you come to Asheville.
Yes. This is kind of funny. I used to live right downtown. And sometimes I'm like, there's this phenomenon when people leave the breweries, they forget when they're on vacation to use the sidewalk. And all of a sudden you're just walking down the street.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, laughing. I'm like, I don't know if we have any Walking Dead fans out there, but I'm always like, oh, we've got walkers today. People just walking down the middle of the road. Like there's no cars you're going to drive down this road, like right next to the sidewalk.
Right. And you know, we've all been there, right? Where we cut loose and we're all,
they think in Asheville, we just walk down the middle of the road.
Right.
And granted, they call us the cesspool of sin.
Yeah.
But they also call us the Paris of the South. Yeah. So we have all these identities and we don't want to be put in a box, but that's where I feel like, you know, it might be time to pivot, you know, here to say what can our travelers be better at? Let's do better.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And how do we get them excited to do better? Because that's the thing too, right? We have to think, yes, they have to do better, but okay, how can we get them on our side to see that, to excite them to be a part of that better? I think that's the challenge and it's not impossible. We can totally do it.
Yeah. We got to set the bar and we're ask them to meet us, you know, and set expectations that, you know, if you want to maybe get a faster drink, then, you know, maybe be a little kinder to your bartender.
Yes.
Right.
That's been in my welcome book for years is like, here is customary tipping. Take care of our bartenders, please. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can understand that.
But yeah, I think it all comes back to educating guests on not only the property and what to expect, but also what to expect with the city and then what's expected of them when they visit too. So the education piece is our responsibility.
Yeah. Ladies, we can't thank you enough for sharing your ongoing experiments, you know, how you've helped each other build a business that is super strong and diverse. And now you can help anyone in your area and beyond probably buy, sell, or rent, and just what you're doing to take care of your community and your city and to kind of, you're giving back by taking care of the tourists that and educating them on how to be better tourists in your area. So thanks so much for all you guys are doing. If our listeners wanted to reach out to you and learn more about your business or just about your offerings, where's the best place to send them?
Just our website, poprentals.com, and send us a message or follow us on Instagram at Pop Rentals Asheville or on Facebook, Pop Rentals Asheville. So thank you so much for the opportunity. It's wonderful chatting with you all. Oh, you're doing great. And we'd love to host you.
Yes.
Don't play. Yeah, and I cannot wait.
And listeners, if you or anyone in your family, or friends are traveling to Asheville, make sure that they go to Pop Rentals first. And see, you know, I don't know, hopefully they have the availability. So if you're planning the rest of, you know, if you're planning for 2021 and Asheville's on the list, go to Pop Rentals now and book your stay.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for joining us this week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers.
Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.